In the fall of 1905, revolution was stirring in Russia. On top of peasant unrest, there were military mutinies and protest strikes and acts of terrorism in its cities and in glittering St. Petersburg, in what Vladimir Nabokov called one of the four greatest novels of the 20th century, a Russian official and his left-leaning son are grappling with their differences. Petersburg, Andrei Bely's symbolist masterpiece, was published in 1913, then edited down and republished in 1922. It's been translated a number of times, but despite Nabokov's praise, it hasn't received the attention many feel it deserves. Pushkin Press has recently published John Ellsworth's translation of the longer 1913 version. I'm very pleased to welcome John Ellsworth, a professor emeritus at the University of Manchester, to our show now. Hello.
Hello.
Haven't you written several books on Bely? Did he live that interesting a life?
Several is a slight exaggeration. I've written two.
Well, that's a lot for a person I've never heard of.
Yes.
Did he live a really interesting life? Is that why?
I don't think he led a particularly interesting life from a personal point of view. He didn't move around a great deal. He lived most of his life in and around Moscow, and traveled only when he had to. So that, no, I don't think his biography in that sense is eventful and interesting from that point of view. His interest is really as a writer and a thinker.
Is Petersburg his only novel?
No, he wrote in all something like seven novels, but they became increasingly difficult to handle. He was always an experimental writer, ever since his debut in 1902. And his later novels after Petersburg are written in an extremely difficult language, which no one has succeeded in translating, although some attempts have been made.
So that had to be a real problem for you. He has wordplay and puns. He has rhyming verses.
Yes, he has all those things.
Is that one of the reasons that Petersburg isn't well known in the English-speaking world? It's just so difficult to translate?
Well, I think that is one of the reasons, yes. I mean, it has to be admitted that many Russian writers found him fairly rebarbative, and there are plenty of Russians who don't read him and don't want to read him.
But is he well known in Russia?
Yes. Yes, he is well known. He's well known rather in the way in which James Joyce is well known in the English-speaking world, known by name and also by many people who've never read him.
You translated another one of his novels, Silver Dove, didn't
you? I translated The Silver Dove about 10 years ago, yes.
Is that another underappreciated masterpiece, or is Petersburg his greatest work?
I would say so. That was his first novel. And in linguistically, it's more straightforward and more feasible to translate it adequately into English.
Now, this book was translated before in the shortened version, 1922, wasn't it?
Yes, it has. It was.
Why was it shortened?
Yes, that's a very interesting question. After he'd published the first edition, which he was never entirely pleased with, he received an offer to publish a German translation. He was keen to do that, but the German publishers told him it had to be shortened because they needed to get it into one volume. So he shortened it for the German translation and found that he liked it. So he then set about doing another shorter version for the second Russian edition.
And this version, published in English, is about 565 pages or so.
Something like that, yes.
With fairly small type.
Yep.
So there's a...
It's a big book.
And I always assumed that there was also a censorship problem. Would there have been a problem? Because
not really
it's published
time,
first
no.
before the revolution
no,
and then after.
In the period after 1905, censorship really wasn't such a problem.
Mm-hmm. Why did he, coming from Moscow, as you said, write about St. Petersburg?
He was picking up a tradition which had become very strong in Russian literature by that time. Petersburg was founded at the beginning of the 18th century by Peter the Great with the express intention of changing the geographic and political orientation of Russia, essentially giving the country a new identity by making it Western instead of whatever it had been before, Oriental, Russian. And throughout the 18th and 19th century, that created a kind of schizophrenia almost in the Russian intellect, as they wondered whether the real Russians were the intelligentsia who had taken on board this westernization, or the vast majority of the ordinary people who had not. And so the city of Petersburg became the central symbol of this problem in Russian history. And it's presented in that way in the work of many of the major 19th century writers, specifically Pushkin, Gogol, and Dostoevsky.
Mm-hmm.
And this was what Bailey was picking up.
And
it also has personal biographical echoes in it, but those are not the most important thing by any means.
And a contemporary, Joseph Conrad, wrote Under Western Eyes, talking about that whole sense that you were being watched by the West because you're not exactly Western, you're not exactly Eastern.
Yes, Conrad's novel is an interesting comparison. I mean, in terms of its linguistic form, its structure, it's much more traditional than Bailey's Petersburg. But it is a novel that people have thought of worthy to be compared with it.
Could you briefly describe the plot of Petersburg?
Yes. The central character is a student of philosophy whose father is a high Tsarist bureaucrat. The son has certain left-wing leanings and has become associated with a terrorist revolutionary group, only tangentially and without full conviction. But through this connection, he receives the commission to assassinate his father. And that is the central node of the plot.
So we have Parasite.
I don't think I'll spoil it for readers by saying in the end he doesn't, but a lot happens that leads in that direction.
It's a plot of Parasite, which is something that Dostoevsky also got involved with. In fact, as I was reading it, I was thinking of a number of writers. Pushkin, of course, is all throughout the book. He has a quote by Pushkin.
Absolutely.
At the start of each chapter. Then there's the Dostoevsky side, and then there's the Turgenev side, because this is about a father and son who represent different generational attitudes.
Yes.
But
yes,
also
the generational conflict, obviously, is best represented in Turgenev.
And is Turgenev where Bailey got the inspiration for his character's experience and fear of zero, nothing?
I don't think so. I think it comes much more from Dostoevsky and from the arguments that were going on at the time, from his own philosophical studies.
Now, he writes this book before the revolution, but 1905 is a really important year in Russian history. Why was there so much unrest in the country in that particular year?
Well, it comes immediately after Russia's disastrous military defeat by the Japanese in the Russo-Japanese War. And there have always been periods of unrest after military defeats. The same thing happened in the late 50s after their defeat in the Crimean War. And there are therefore, and you will have seen them in the text of the novel, there are soldiers coming back from the front in the Far East, armed, dispirited, angry. And they then merge with the crowds of disaffected workers in the city. We can also remember that at the very beginning of 1905, in January, there happened the massacre of some hundreds of peaceful demonstrators in Palace Square in front of the Winter Palace in Petersburg, which has often been said by historians to mark the end of the ordinary people's real belief in the Tsar and the benign nature of Tsarist rule.
That's the subject of The Battleship Potemkin by Eisenstein?
It's related to that.
Now, this whole thing led to the establishment of a limited constitutional monarchy and the establishment of the State Duma of the Russian Empire,
yes,
a multi-party system, the Russian Constitution of 1906. So it really is an important time. It's also the time Tom Stoppard seems to be really fascinated by. But I'm wondering about this other aspect of this novel. It's constant comparison with Ulysses. It's written before Ulysses.
Yes.
Do we know whether James Joyce even was aware of the book?
I have no reason to think he was. I mean, he didn't, I think, know a great deal of Russian, and it wasn't available. Well, it might have been available in French or German, which he would have read, but I have no reason to believe he knew of it. The grounds for the comparison, I think, are that they both are novels which ultimately are explicable in terms of myth rather than history. I mean, you've emphasized the real historical background of the novel, and that is true enough. The real historical time is very clearly represented. But the conflict that the novel embodies is not really a historical one, and despite what I've said about the revolutionary aspects of it, it's not really a political one, because the extremes between which the novel moves, the antitheses, are really an antithesis of chaos and stagnation. On the one hand, you have a world which has not yet been made sense of by human thought. At the other end, you have human thought that has turned things static. And you have the Tsarist bureaucracy and the geometrical city, which represent that stagnation of thought that is no longer creative. And you have the revolutionary islands, the bomb, the surge of workers across the bridges, that represent the chaotic aspect.
And Bailey believed in a parallel world of potential and the potential of words to live and die. But another similarity with Ulysses, isn't it, that they both take place within 24 hours?
No, Petersburg doesn't take place within 24 hours. No, the action takes place in about 4 days. But that raises another interesting question, because although there is a quasi-realistic setting both in space and in time, the closer you look at it, the more difficult it becomes to say actually what is happening and what time span is passing. One of the Russian specialists on this novel discovered that if you try to follow the routes taken by the characters through the city of Petersburg, you can't actually do it. The routes are not real. Every place described is absolutely real, and anyone who's been to the city can recognize them. But you can't get from A to B by the route that Bailey sends his characters through. And similarly in time, you can't be quite sure how much time is passing. That's why I hesitated slightly when I said...
Well, it's 10 days, but the main action is within a single day. That's why it's not exactly a direct parallel.
It's a very short time span, that's certainly true.
And how was this book received when it was first published? Because it is so difficult.
It was received in a very ambiguous way. There were many who thought it was clearly the most important novel that had been written on that topic in recent times. There are many, more conservative critics found it intolerable, found it unreadable, found it did violence to the Russian language. But I think among serious critics it was very well received. And if we look at the development of Russian experimental prose in the 1920s, then the single most influential text Bailey's Peter Burg.
John Ellsworth, the translator of Petersburg by Andrei Bailey, published by Pushkin Press. Thank you so much for being with us.